Welcome to Marvel.
Right, let's get into our studs and duds and the matchups, starting with the matchup of the week. But before we start, don't forget to stay till the end of the episode where we will have our updated power rankings. A ton of movement this week, even more than last week after all the trade-a-palooza, Juan's trade, Mike's trade, Josh's trade, Elliot's trade, Gage's trade, even more movement than trade-a-palooza. So stay tuned after this episode to hear the updated power rankings. But with that said, we're going to start, of course, with the matchup of the week. I have some new music special only for those who participate in the matchup of the week. It is NFL primetime theme song. Do the Chris Berman whop. Hurts to do that. Our matchup of the week, you might have guessed it, Els Bells taking on Unleash the Beast, Elliot versus Alicia, in an unbelievable matchup. I did not have my eyes on this. I thought it was done chain over. I have a group chat with myself, Gage, Chris Roach, and Elliot. We talk a lot of sports. You know, we're chatting. Yesterday, I had done the unthinkable to Elliot. This is where I take his loss and put it on my back. Why? Because in the group chat, I noticed all four of our NFL teams had won. The Jets, the Chargers, the Bills, the Patriots. Then I look at our Marvel matchups. I took the win. Gage took the win. Roach took the win. Elliot up 104 points heading into Monday Night Football. I had given him the win. I congratulated all of us, as I always do. I made some meme. I had the Bad Boys for Life song playing in the end with all four of our heads pasted onto a meme. I had sent that to the group chat, and that was the KOD for Elliot. The kiss of death. Alicia, your thank you letter should be in the mail. I did this for you. I couldn't believe it. Elliot up 104 points and takes the loss here. 142-135. Alicia with an epic comeback. In all seriousness, I'm just so glad she was awake and watching. This is what fantasy football is about. Unfortunately for Elliot, it's a bad beat. We all go through these. Just last week, I told you know my whole story about losing to Cooper Kupp on the very final play. He needed a catch for 5 yards. He got a catch for 8 yards, and I lose. This one probably felt absolutely disgusting. I was chatting with Elliot through the whole thing. He's disgusted. He usually hits me once or twice a year with a text, "Hey, man, don't invite me back to the league next year." He didn't go that far. I'm proud of him. He did not go that far this year. But everybody tilts, and again, congrats to Alicia. We're going to talk about her studs and duds. I mean, this is a special stud and dud matchup here. We're going to talk about all her studs real quick, and they were all on Monday Night Football. That's what, how crazy this is. 30 points, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, all of a sudden, looks like an all-pro running back. 27 fantasy points, heavily involved in the passing game all of a sudden. We had Travis Kelce. This is what has to absolutely disgust Elliot. If you had told Elliot pregame, "Elliot, would you sign up for only 25 receiving yards from Travis Kelce? Would you take that right now in your matchup?" He would sign that deal immediately. But Travis Kelce had 25 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. How is that possible? How do you not guard him on the goal line? Send 2 people to just face guard him. Who else is Patrick Mahomes going to throw to? They don't have Tyreek Hill. My goodness. If there's anything I know in the NFL, it's a couple things. It's you can't guard Cooper Kupp. You can't guard Travis Kelce and Rashad Penny on the injury list. Those are the three things I know in the NFL. Moving on, Daniel Carlson is like equal with Justin Tucker. They are unbelievable as kickers. 16 fantasy points last night. And oh, by the way, she has Justin Tucker, who also had 16 fantasy points on her bench. So that whole joke I had on draft day, on the draft grade episode, having two kickers, well, she's got two really elite kickers who will probably get her double-digit points every single week. So maybe the joke's on me. But congratulations, Alicia. I hope you enjoyed it. That's the fun part of fantasy. You just never know. You might not be out of it. So just try to watch the games, and I'm sure that was a fun experience for her. And a terrible experience for Mr. Elliott. Moving on to his team, 135 points, third most points in the league this week. Sucks being in that position. You just happen to face the second most points in the league in Alicia. 135 points. As far as your stud goes, it's going to be Justin Jefferson. This is back-to-back weeks now. It feels like the Vikings have really fixed whatever issues they had getting him the ball. He had a down week two and a down week three, but he's back in it with 24 fantasy points. No touchdowns, but 12 receptions, 154 yards receiving. If that's the baseline, you'll take that all day. Who cares about the touchdown at that point? You didn't really have anybody that killed you as far as a dud, but I'm going to go semi-dud here because our expectations of this player is much higher than what he produced, and he didn't outproduce his expectation this week, and that's going to be Lamar Jackson. He got you 14 fantasy points, but that's not something you're banking on. When you're going against Patrick Mahomes, you're going to need more than 14 from Lamar Jackson. You know, he played at home, too. It was a home game for the Ravens. He was without his number one receiver, Rashad Bateman, but no excuse. He does have Mark Andrews. But Lamar Jackson, only 14 fantasy points, 174 yards passing. So he's kind of taken a step back in that passing game. He's still heavily involved in the running game, but only 14. Not great. I didn't talk about the dud for Alicia's team. I mentioned all the studs. She actually does have a dud. That's going to be Antonio Gibson. Not that she cares. 142 points is fantastic, but Antonio Gibson might be getting phased out on that Washington Commanders team. 5 fantasy points, and now he's going to be sharing a backfield with two other running backs. JD McKissick is obviously the third down back and the two-minute drill guy, and now Brian Robinson has come back. He's going to be eased into the offense, so this is probably the least amount of snaps and carries that Brian Robinson's going to get. He's only going to get ramped up from here. But again, Alicia does not care because she was without two of her starting players this week and still put up 142. She didn't have Jonathan Taylor. She didn't have Keenan Allen. So just unbelievable that she's doing this. I don't want to go back to the draft grade episode and clip it, but I said two things, among other things. Alicia could start 5-0, and what do you know? She's 5-0, and I said Jason has a strong team. He could start 4-1, and he's 4-1. Spoiler alert. Now, we'll see how they manage their teams going forward. We are on Jason activity watch. I know we're not on his matchup yet, but we're still at a zero for Jason's transactions, but does he need it? Not right now. So congratulations to Alicia for taking the win. I bet, if I had to bet, Elliot is not listening to this. Better days ahead for you. I mean, you put up 135, and now we have an epic battle between myself and you, Elliot, next week in week 6. I'll see you there, my friends. Congratulations to Alicia. All right. Our next matchup is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on Joe Chick. This was kind of a mid-season lemonade bowl. I definitely am not afraid to say what it is. I was 1-3 heading into the week. Joe Chick was 0-4. Someone needed a win here, and I'll take those honors, 116-94. I take the win. Not the highest scoring affair here, but we did put up some points nonetheless. Talk about my team. Stud is going to be Mr. Breece Hall, who could have had an even bigger day. He did put up 26 fantasy points, 97 rushing yards and a touchdown, and 100 yards through the air. Most of those air yards, receiving yards, came on one big play, 70-yard reception. But getting back to the biggest, bigger day he could have had, he was tackled at the one-yard line on two different plays, and then Michael Carter was inserted into the game and poached two rushing touchdowns. So one of them made sense. Again, one was a 70-yard reception, and he just couldn't get in. He reached, couldn't get in, got tackled at the one, and at that point, he just ran 70 yards. He needs a quick blow. So they put Michael Carter in, and he puts it into the end zone, and then it happened again shortly after. So it could have been another, you know, three touchdown performance for Breece Hall, but I'll take the 26 points. It's looking more and more like that trade I did with Tom is a wash. We'll talk about Damian Pierce a little bit later with his team, but those two rookie running backs look absolutely phenomenal. They're going to be talked about many years to come in fantasy football. As far as my dud goes, I don't know what happened with T. Higgins. I went to bed by accident, fell asleep on the couch in the first quarter. I woke up in a complete daze at like midnight, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, Bengals lost, whatever. But to see T. Higgins score 0 points, it's concerning. He was dealing with an ankle injury heading into the game, and I guess they were using him as a decoy, only in an emergency situation, which is silly to me because it seemed like you lost the game. That would qualify as the emergency situation. So why didn't you put him into the game? Not sure. I'm nervous for him. Now, since I got the win against Joe, I'm happy they didn't play T. Higgins. That means his ankle is not right, and I want him to have a week of rest. And, you know, he kind of got a week of rest, even though he was suited up. I'm hoping he can go next week in my big matchup against Elliott. So I can't give him the dud. I'll give it to Gerald Everett. 1 catch for 2 yards. I'm doing the tight end seesaw method. A lot of you with quarterbacks are doing the same thing. You're starting the wrong one. So when you have two quarterbacks or two tight ends, since they're onesie positions, sometimes you're just going to start the wrong one. And I've started the wrong one all 5 weeks. So looks like Njoku will be back in my lineup next week. I can't wait for him to get me, under 4 fantasy points. Moving on to Joe Chick's team. Unfortunately, Joe Chick starts 0-5 on the year. We're talking, texting back and forth. You know, he's getting some bad beats. I do want to talk about a philosophy of his team, though. Could be the culprit. I think he disagreed respectfully, but you tell me when I tell you about his team. Real quick, we'll do a studs and duds. I'll talk about the philosophy of his team. As far as his stud goes, I'm going to give it to Jeff Wilson. Just another great performance filling in for Elijah Mitchell. 19 fantasy points, 120 yards rushing and a touchdown. He looks great. He always has looked great when he gets the role. I would expect moving forward, even when Mitchell comes back, that's a split backfield, because why would you punish a guy who's playing this well for you? All he's done is been a great running back and a great leader. As far as your dud goes, I'm giving it to A.J. Brown. 4 fantasy points. Jalen Hurts not throwing a lot of touchdowns, but for A.J. Brown to only get 32 yards receiving, he is the alpha number one on that team, but it's looking more and more like there's a 1B, meaning pretty much even money, and that's Devonta Smith. This is a Jamar Chase, T. Higgins situation where it looks like Elisha, who has Devonta Smith, got the, let's call it a 3-round, 4-round discount in the draft on that Eagles number one receiver. She took Devonta Smith much later than Joe Chick took A.J. Brown, and she's reaping the benefits. Smith is having a great season, and so is A.J. Brown, but this is a dud performance, and all the points went to Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. Let's talk real quick about the philosophy. I don't want to get too much into it, but you tell me. So Joe Chick has 5 players that are on his roster that are on 2 NFL teams. So he's got Miles Sanders and A.J. Brown. They're both on the Eagles. And he's got 3 Niners, Jeff Wilson, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. And I was texting him, and I'm thinking to myself, his upside is super capped. More on a micro level, I'm not talking macro, like, yes, season long, these guys can kind of pan out. But from a week to week and matchup to matchup situation, I don't know if it's a good idea to have this many guys on the same NFL team. I'm watching the game, watching our matchup, and I'm watching the Niners, and I'm thinking to myself, so you got the Niners in the red zone, right? I'm not that nervous. Why am I not nervous? Because only one player can score a touchdown here. He's got a good chance because he's got three of the better players, Jeff Wilson, Deebo Samuel, and George Kittle. So let's say George Kittle catches a touchdown. That's, you know, that let's call it 7.5 points because you include the yardage and the catch. 7.5 points, and that just takes Deebo Samuel and Jeff Wilson off the field along with Kittle. Now they're on the bench while they're watching their team play defense. Those other guys can't score points the same time as Kittle. Now, you see, weird situation, maybe a reverse and Deebo throws a touchdown, but you can't really depend on that. So I found myself getting more and more confident in our matchup watching, and the same thing goes for, I was watching the Eagles game. He has Sanders and AJ Brown, you know, they're in the red zone. I'm not that nervous. Like, AJ Brown, go ahead, catch a touchdown on this next play. That's just going to take Miles Sanders off the field, and he's not going to be able to score. So I think Joe is going to be scoring a nice amount of points, right around that 100 to 10. I haven't looked at all his week scorings yet, but I don't know if he's ever going to get that big 160 point performance, because his players would absolutely have to go nuclear, meaning the 49ers too. They'd have to put up 35 points in a touchdown for each, and while that could happen, I'm not a fan of stacking that many players on the same team. I like a quarterback and wide receiver stack. That's fun. You could even say a quarterback and a tight end. That's fun. But this many skill position players on the same fantasy team, it's just a philosophy. Again, I think he respectfully disagreed. We'll see what happens. I think it could work for season long, but on the micro level, I'm not sure it's working. So I take the win here. I move to 2-3 on the year, going into an epic battle with a division foe in Elliott next week. And Joe Chick moves to 0-5. I hope he's at the Build-A-Bear Center right now, stuffing that teddy bear. We'll see what happens. Lot of fantasy left. Lot of fantasy left. All right, our next matchup is going to be Dawson Knox's Creek taking on Bathroom Handjobs, Josh versus Corrado, and Josh takes the win 118-70. Josh, fresh off the trade of Palooza, he's almost got like a whole new roster he gets to have fun with, and let's dive into his roster. So Davante Adams went off last night for 25 fantasy points, but it wasn't really needed. I believe he wrapped up the matchup before Monday Night Football. So his stud, I'm giving it to Raheem Mostert, 18 fantasy points, 113 yards on the ground, and a touchdown. It looks like he has taken over the backfield. I was just trying to think of, you know, the other running back's name, Chase Edmonds. They're kind of phasing him out. I'm trying to remember how Josh got Raheem Mostert. He had, interesting, I remember Taylor having, maybe he could enlighten me on the side. I remember Taylor having Raheem Mostert because I was trying to trade someone for Mostert, and somehow he's on Josh's team. I must have missed something. He had Edmonds, who I was also trying to go for, and now I know Edmonds is now on Team Torres. So maybe Josh can enlighten me. I didn't know he had Raheem Mostert, but it's a great start, and he is your stud. As far as your dud goes, Christian Kirk, one fantasy point. I don't know what happened with the Jaguars against the Texans. Seems like a good matchup, but there was a ton of duds in that game. On both sides, really, there was really only one fantasy-relevant player. We'll talk about him later. Rhymes with Shmamian Schmierce, Damian Pierce. But nonetheless, Christian Kirk, disappointing performance, one fantasy point. Moving on to Bathroom Handjobs, a lot of duds all over the place, but I got to give it to TJ Hockenson. After last week putting up the eighth most fantasy points in a single game for a tight end, he gives you one fantasy point in a game. I know it's on the road against the Patriots.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was not 100%. He only played 20 snaps. So I'm shocked that T.J. Hockenson couldn't provide more than one catch for 6 yards. The Patriots absolutely shut out the Lions in more ways than one. It was literally 29-0. So that's the floor for T.J. Hockenson. He's not in that elite group of tight ends. We already knew that, but still got to start him. You know, Darren Waller gets injured last night again. George Kittle not performing. So T.J. Hockenson still kind of in that upper tier of tight end, but this just shows you how much of a wasteland tight end is when they get you one fantasy point. And your stud is going to be Alvin Kamara, who could have had a huge week. He had 20 fantasy points, 103 yards on the ground. I believe he had over 90 receiving yards as well. But his teammate, Taysom Hill, stole the limelight. He had 4 touchdowns himself, so I think Kamara would have banged in a couple of those on a normal day, but this was the Taysom Hill show, of course, like we all predicted, right? That guy's an unbelievable football player. I'm glad the Saints have found ways to use him. Now, he's really annoying for fantasy football because you can't project this. I can't wait to see how many people pick up Taysom Hill, try to start him. He might get you, he's going to get you 2-3 fantasy points. This is just not normal for someone to do that. He threw a touchdown pass. He ran in 3 of them. That's not normal. I don't know if you can count on that, but it's fun to see. But for Corrado's purposes, it really kind of hurt him. He probably missed out on at least 12 points, fantasy points, which would be 2 touchdowns. But nonetheless, congrats to Josh. Takes the win, moves to 3-2 on the year, while Corrado moves to 2-3. All right, our next matchup is going to be ChristianMingle.com. Gage taking on Pillar of Fire. This is Tom Beggs. And Gage takes the win, 116-90. Talk about Gage's team. He's got some studs. And we're going to give it to Gabe Davis after trade-a-palooza. Him and Elliott made a nice trade, helped both teams. And Gabe Davis goes for 3 receptions, 171 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It was very fun to watch. I mean, it was very early on the slate. Gabe Davis with a freaking one-handed catch on Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka's trying to grab the ball. He just rips it up. I mean, that catch was not talked about enough. We always talk about the Odell Beckham catch, which was absolutely phenomenal, by the way. But I wasn't seeing a lot of press on that one-handed bomb of a touchdown to Gabe Davis. He looks great. Looks healthy for the first time. You want more than 3 catches, but this just goes to show you what he can do on a catch. So he's going to be your stud. As far as your duds go, you had a couple of them, but we're giving it to Jamal Williams, maybe coming back down to earth here against the Patriots. That whole Lions team was a dud, but he was a superstar up until he can have a bad game here and there. Tough matchup against the Patriots, but 5 fantasy points for Jamal Williams. Maybe he's running out of steam since he's been carrying the load for the Lions while DeAndre Swift has been out. I can't wait for DeAndre Swift to come back. He's got a bye week next week, the Lions do, and then he'll return week seven most likely. I have a lot of DeAndre Swift, and I didn't buy the old insurance policy of Jamal Williams. So the clock is ticking for Jamal Williams here, it looks like. Moving on to Pillar of Fire, Tom takes another loss here. After he got the win last week versus me in dramatic fashion, 90 fantasy points, well below league average. So I know he's looking to score more points for sure. And he's got a good team. His stud's going to be Damian Pierce. Now, Cooper Kupp did his thing, 22 fantasy points, but the Rams look like a crap offense who only throw to Cooper Kupp. So I refuse to talk about Cooper Kupp because of what he did to me last week. But Damian Pierce looks like a great running back. They're using him as a workhorse, 99 yards on the ground and a touchdown. He's also involved in the passing game now. 3 receptions for 14 yards. Nothing crazy, but that's going to get you a couple extra fantasy points per week. So good for 18.8 fantasy points. Duds all over. And I know this guy was injured, but Dalton Schultz, kind of looking like a bust. I believe he was a fifth or sixth round tight end pick. You were drafting him there if you waited on tight end a little bit, hoping he would join the upper echelon players like Kelsey and Andrews and Pitts. No, just joking. But you were hoping Schultz could maybe join that fraternity of those elite tight ends. And the more we realize that it's literally just Kelsey and Andrews, the better off we are. Schultz was always probably just in that bottom tier group, but Tom took his shot, and he was injured in the game, but gave you zero fantasy points. And in conversation for dud was A.J. Dillon. Everybody wants him to be Jonathan Taylor because he has the same build. They call him Quadzilla. He's got huge legs. But all he does when I watch him play is he takes the ball from Aaron Rodgers and runs into the offensive line. He doesn't have, you know, the joystick mentality weaving in and out. He's a bulldozer. Aaron Jones is the better rusher, even though he's much smaller, probably half the size. He's just the better rusher. He's the better pass catcher. So I think they're going to have to rely more on Aaron Jones moving forward. And you could see that as early as this week against the New York Jets. Dillon, probably a good start this week against the Jets. But we'll see how much faith Tom has in A.J. Dillon moving forward. So congratulations to Gage. Moves to 4-1 on the season, while Pillar of Fire Tom moves to 2-3. All right, our next matchup is going to be the trophy wife, Taylor, taking on Jason Yeeters Skeeters. Jason, number one scoring team in the league this week, 149 fantasy points to Taylor's 108. Let's take a look at Jason's team. Another epic performance. It makes me wonder why every year we joke around come draft time on who's going to steal Josh Allen from Gage, blah, blah, blah. And every single person that steals Josh Allen in the draft is a contender. You talk about Henry, who won the league last year because he had Josh Allen. And as you can see, Jason riding the coattails of Josh Allen, 149 points. Josh Allen is your stud, 35 fantasy points, 424 yards through the air, and 4 touchdowns. Did have an interception, but when you're getting that many fantasy points, what's -2 for the interception? Who cares? As far as your dud goes, again, just like Dalton Schultz, this is an injury-related dud, but I got to give it to him. It's Darren Waller, 0 fantasy points. Literally the same situation as Dalton Schultz. He's just not in that upper tier. And, you know, Jason did pay a lot in draft capital for Darren Waller, and he's just not providing anything. So we're going to see moving forward. I believe, let's see, we're on Jason Activity Watch. Yep, still 0 acquisitions. So we'll see if Jason has to make some moves. He's got some bye weeks coming up. Derrick Henry's on bye. Darren Waller's on bye, also injured. So we might finally see in week 6 Jason make his first acquisition.
Can I get an echo? Hold on.
His first acquisition. Jason. I don't even know if that worked. This microphone has a echo feature. Just trying it out live on the podcast makes for good radio. Let's move on to Taylor's team. Taylor's team, 108. Man, what a great start that she did. Geno Smith is going to be her stud. Now, maybe if Geno Smith is your stud, maybe that means you're not having a great week. You know, she does take the loss, but props to her for starting Geno Smith versus a New Orleans Saints defense in New Orleans. And he gets it done, 24 fantasy points. He looks great. He looks much better than Russell Wilson. And she got him off waivers, 268 yards passing and 3 touchdowns in contention. I mean, Austin Eckler's doing his thing as well, 33 fantasy points. But duds all over the place, and, you know, kind of like in my situation, Amon-Ra St. Brown was only used on 20 snaps, so he only got 3 fantasy points. He's going to be your dud, and I blame that more on the Lions franchise. If you're not going to use him, just keep him off the field. Give him another week of rest, especially since next week is a bye week. So in her situation, it would have been better if they ruled him out. She could have started another player. She had a bunch of players on her team that kind of went off. Josh Reynolds, who's on the Lions, had 12 fantasy points. Marquez Valdez-Scantling last night had 12 fantasy points. Most likely, she would have subbed in one of those guys and got some extra points. But for Taylor's team, none of that matters, not even the loss, because she is going to be dealing with some injuries. She loses Rashad Penny to a broken, tibia for the season. Tough to lose running backs this time of year. She also might be without Damian Harris for a couple weeks as he has a hamstring. Now, that's not a season ender. He will be back, I'm sure. But what happens is that is opening the door for Ramondre Stevenson to take over. And is immediately Damian Harris was exited the game. Now it was against the Lions. Everybody plays really well against the Lions as far as running backs goes. But Ramondre took over that backfield, and we'll see what happens when Harris comes back. Not only could it be more of a split, it could be Ramondre's backfield now because he does catch the ball a little bit better than Damian Harris. So we got some tough weeks coming ahead for the trophy wife, Taylor, as she moves to 1-4 on the season. And Jason, 4-1. Again, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm congratulating you, sir. But I feel like I did a good job on the draft grade episode. I'm just going to keep going back to that. The draft grade episodes matter. Put the bumper sticker on your car. Jason starts 4-1. I called it. Congratulations, Jason. All right, our last matchup before we get to the updated power rankings is a defensive matchup. It's going to be the BV Bar Wenches taking on Taurus Falcons, and Chris Roach takes the win 93-81. Low scoring affair again here. Let's talk about Chris's team. He takes the win. As far as his, he doesn't have really a stud. I don't know if many players actually went over their projection. Again, he only had 93, but a guy that really put the team on his back was Nick Folk. Again, he's just one of those upper tier kickers. He went 5-for-5 field goals, 2-for-2 extra points. Just a great performance, 18 fantasy points. So he relied on his kicker to get him the win. As far as duds go, kind of duds all over the place, to be honest. Jalen Waddle, I don't know if he's right. Could still be a little banged up. Now, Waddle played against the Jets, and the Jets cornerbacks have played really well this year. It's the safeties that kind of give up touchdowns or big plays, but Waddle was held to only 3 catches and 23 yards. Now, they're also having quarterback issues. Tua's not there. Bridgewater got knocked out of the game due to concussion protocol. So they had their third-string rookie quarterback. I'm just surprised they didn't rely more on those short, you know, Jalen Waddle routes. They heavily targeted Tyreek Hill, but all short stuff, and that's what you expect from a rookie. And the Jets ended up blowing out the Dolphins, so they didn't play Waddle that much towards the end. I'm wondering if he's still a little banged up, though. That's just a low game for him. Moving on to Team Torres. I hate to do the hindsight thing, Mr. Torres, but as far as the trade of Palooza goes with you and Josh, that epic trade, if you had just not swapped Jared Goff and Tom Brady, you would have won. You would have won by 1 point if you had just kept Tom Brady and still made the other trade. I mean, you got Dalvin Cook in the deal, and he had a great game, but if you had just not made the Tom Brady part of the trade, you win this matchup, and maybe a little bit of stress would be taken off your plate, but you are in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Oh, I just came up with that. I like Lemonade Bowl, but we have moved on to a new punishment, and Build-A-Bear Bowl sounds pretty good. Juan finds himself in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, along with Taylor and Joe Chick, and only 81 fantasy points here. Dalvin Cook is going to be your stud. Again, the guy you traded for. Now, you gave up Adams, who also had right around 25 fantasy points. But you get Cook, and he looked great, 94 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Finally, some touchdown regression coming Dalvin Cook's way. He is overdue for a double-digit touchdown season. It's almost not sustainable how much they use him and how little the touchdowns are coming in for him. Duds all over the place. Najee Harris, first round pick, 20 rushing yards. Man, he has fallen. That Steelers team looks terrible. The offensive line, terrible. They still use him as a workhorse, Najee Harris, but even in the passing game, he's not doing enough. 3 catches for 16 yards, so not very efficient. So Juan Torres finds himself at 1-4, just like Taylor. I believe they're tied for second to last place, while Joe Chick starts 0-5, but Joe Chick has a lot more points. Looking at the standings, Joe Chick has 502 fantasy points to Juan Torres's 392. So if Joe Chick does squeak out a win sometime soon, he would be well ahead of Juan in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. Let's look quickly at Taylor's team. She's leading the pack on those 3 teams with 523 points. So she is putting up some points, just some bad luck. And adding to that bad luck are the injuries to her running backs. So nonetheless, Roach takes the win this week, and he finds himself at 3-2. Congratulations, Roach. All right, it's power rankings time. This is the rest of season power rankings in my fantasy simulation. Starting at 12, going to be Juan Torres Falcons. Number 11 is going to be the trophy wife, Taylor. This one's a surprise. Number 10, Dawson Knox's Creek. Josh Benoit somehow gets the win. I believe he dominated that trade, and the simulation still says he's the 10th ranked team rest of season. We'll see what happens there. Number 9, Book of Samuel, Joe Chick. Number 8, BV Bar Wenches, Chris Roach. Number 7, Unleash the Beast. I wonder what's going on there. So she's 5-0. Maybe the simulation is seeing what I'm seeing, that there are bye weeks coming up. Maybe they think it's unsustainable. I don't know. The way she's winning is pretty impressive. She hasn't had Keenan Allen all year, and just had a dominant performance without Jonathan Taylor. I said she was gonna start 5-0 and maybe start losing. I don't know. I think she's looking real good. Simulation has her at 7. Number 6, Bathroom Handjobs, Mike Corrado. Number 5, Pillar of Fire. Tom moves down multiple spots after this loss and under 100-point performance again. Number 4, Yeeters Skeeters. I believe he moved down a spot even with a big win. Possibly because he hasn't made any roster moves. I don't know. We got bye weeks coming up and now the Darren Waller injury. I think it might even take into account injuries. I'm not sure how involved the simulation is. Number 3, ChristianMingle.com, Gage Aziz. Number 3. At number 2 with the biggest jump in the league, I think I was ranked 8th. I am now number 2 ranked in the league, Mr. Fahrenheit. The simulation loves 0RB. What? I can't do... What? I still can't do the Chris Berman. What? Nope. And number 1, no change, L's Bells. Takes the tough loss. Simulation still absolutely loves that 135 points that he put up. All you can do is put your team in a position to score points, and then it's a little bit of luck on who you face week to week. But Elliott's team is still great. Just because he lost the matchup, he's still putting up a whopping 135. So the simulation... How many times can I say simulation in one segment? Simulation, simulation, simulation loves themselves some L's Bells. So those are the power rankings for week 5, rest of season. We are headed into week 6. We got some great matchups to talk about next week. And this is the first week of bye week. So let's see who's got some deep rosters, who can start throwing in some bench players and score points. Hope you all have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.